Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our gospel reading is from John, chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, we will not see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Here ends our reading.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. All right, I need some honesty from you guys today. Come on down, hon. Make room a little. There's room there, right here. Keep going. Squeeze a little bit. There you go. Right down there. There's enough for two. There you go. And another one. Or let her in there, I guess. Or not. There we go. I need some honesty from you today, okay? Not that you're dishonest other days, but sometimes when I ask hard questions, you don't like, you know, they're harder to answer. How many of you have ever complained? Oh, I never do that. Oh, wait, no, I do that too. Right. How many of you, right, put your hands down. How many of you felt like nobody understands me? Yeah. How many of you ever had what they call a pity party? My life is so hard, my parents are so hard, and I have to always do dishes and keep my room clean and not spit on the floor. Well, don't let me give you any hints, because if your moms come back and say, guess what they started because of you, Pastor, I'll be in trouble, okay? So here's the question. Our sermon's about complainers. Only it's not little kids complaining. Big kids complaining. And they're complaining, God, you don't understand me. You're not answering my prayers the way I want you to. You're not nice, God. And they're complaining. And so part of what the sermon is about today is about the complaining that people do. And they did it in old times, in the Old Testament. They did it in new times. And guess what? Some of you are practicing to become complainers also. You don't need much practice, because all you got to do is feel sorry for yourself. And then you cry and you have a pity party. Well, in my sermon today, God is trying to look at us and tell us, here we go, a very important thing. very important thing. He's trying to let you know you don't feel sorry for 1 minute that he doesn't already know that. You don't cry one of your littlest tears that he does not know that you're crying or you're sad. Or when you're scared in the middle of the night, or you're scared in the middle of the day, or you're doing any of those things, God knows them all. And so what we're doing and what we're understanding today in the sermon is that God watches over us. And he promises, and this is the best part, he promises when you feel like you can't go on. Have you ever been on a hike and you just said, I can't keep walking, and dad or mom had to carry you? You ever done that? Yeah, yeah. I keep asking, but nobody carries me anymore. I don't get it. So, oh, that I knew it was something like that. She said, you're too heavy. Kids are honest, but well, you guys don't have to laugh. I mean, I resemble that remark. But here in the sermon, what we're going to learn is God is with us all the time, and that he doesn't forget about us, and he can give you strength and power that you haven't even begun to understand. And when you're the last one picked for the team, or you're feeling really sad because you think nobody understands you, or you think your life is really hard, God whispers to you and says, I've got you. I understand you. I know what you need and what you're asking. All right, Eva. That's right. Don't push back on her. Anyway, back to that. Here's the point. Ultimately, the sermon is about how God takes care of each and every one of us, even if we're big people complaining or we're little people complaining or feeling sorry for ourselves. God promises to be with each and every one of us. Can you remember that? Wonderful. I got something here today. Ladies first. There we go. You're welcome. Hi, honey.
You're Mr. Bruce here.
I am.
You're dear.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, honey. Oh, you like that one. Good. You're welcome, honey. And thank you. Whoop, let me get the other one. Thank you. You're welcome. Brucey. I hate their honesty, but it's really nice. I don't really hate it. Got to be careful what I say. If you have your Bible, let me hear the pages. Cell phones don't flip pages, you know. Good, here we go. Turn to Psalm 40. I'm sorry, Isaiah 40. I know you got your phones. Yeah. They don't count. How many of you, when you're on your phone listening to a sermon, are also checking your texts? Come on. Then my prayer is, Lord, if they're lying to me, that'll set people, yeah, don't do that to us, Pastor. But Isaiah 40. Starting at verse 6. This was last Sunday's sermon. If you are here, you may remember it. If not, I'll give you a quick reminder. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord but the words of our God stands forever. We read it in 1 Peter last Sunday, but it's the same basic text, obviously, where Peter got it from. Now, I wanted to stick that into your mind at the beginning because this is an interesting chapter. Chapter 1, or verse 1 in this chapter says, comfort, comfort my people. This is a comforting passage. It means it's meant to bring you peace. With the uncertainties of life and the challenges that are out there from what's going on in the political realm, what's going on in the physical realm, the warnings and the threats that we can't hardly sort through sometimes, there is a need to be comforted, all right? One of the things I want you to learn more than anything else is that you will suffer, you will hurt, and God will not let you always avoid those things, but He will go with you through them or carry you through them. And so into this now, here's God speaking to Israel. The Assyrians are about to beat them up. They're terrified. The Assyrians are very wicked people. They skin people alive. They kill men, women, and children. They really don't care. They want to come in. They want to take everything the Israelites have, and they want to conquer them. And so that's the context that I want you to at least be alert to, because otherwise this will not make sense. And in the middle of it, the Israelites are also acting scared, afraid, and inconsistent in their walk with God, and their testimony is very terrible, and everything else they're doing. And so this chapter in Isaiah goes, comfort, comfort my people. And He's going to take you down a path of comforting you in the middle of the turmoil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay? You cannot experience life without the difficulties, the challenges, the joys, and the sufferings it takes to grow up. It's not easy growing up in today's culture. It's not easy being a mom or a dad in today's culture. It's not easy being a faithful husband or wife in today's culture. It's not easy to do any of those things. And in almost any direction you look, sometimes something can happen in a way that you go, oh, Lord, nothing else, please no more. And I understand that prayer. And I want you to understand, here's where Israel was at when they begin looking at this particular section in Isaiah. But I want you to understand where God is going to take them. Because one of the things that happens in this chapter before the section we get to look at is that the people are struggling with the concept, God, where are you? How come you're not answering our prayers? Why is it we seem to be suffering? Why is it the situations that we're in are so difficult? Why is growing up so hard? Why is keeping the house clean so difficult? Why is living with my wife or my husband as challenging as it sometimes can be? Why aren't all my children perfect like I was? Well, some of it's a total illusion. But you begin to understand that's kind of the context. They're complaining. They're frustrated. They're going, where are you, God? And so into the middle of this situation, Assyrians kind of knocking at the door, a little bit like we hear about China and Russia and what they're doing to the American dollar and what they want to do to this country. And we no longer have the biggest or most powerful navy and on and on and on. You hear it, that knock at the door, that threat. If you keep alert to that stuff at all, you become aware of some of the junk that's going on. And into this setting, into this situation, we've got to bring now the assurance that God gives at this point. Now, one of the things He does just prior to the section we're in is He talks about the creation. He talks about the fact that He is the Creator. He has made things come about. He has brought them into existence. And He looks at the people and He says, do you think there's one heartbeat in your life that I'm ignorant of or unaware of? Is there something going on in you that you think I don't understand? I mean, as a father, I misunderstood and didn't always understand my kids, myself, my life, my people around me. I'm still capable of not understanding or misunderstanding or all those kinds of things. But into this situation now, God is looking at Israel going, I'm here. I understand. I'm with you. And so as we start now in verse 26, I want you to look at this. And it starts with this concept now, finishing this whole chapter off. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these all these things? And so you've got to picture it's a little bit more at night than at daytime because he's going to be talking about every star that's in its place. I know where they are. I've named them. I have an assurance to let you know. If I can figure out trillions of stars, I can figure you out. If I can keep the universe moving and flowing, I can figure out how to move into and through your life. I haven't lost you. You're not skipped over. The computer hasn't glitched. There's nothing that you're going through that I am unaware of. There's nothing you're concerned or frightened of that I am unaware of. The problem is not on God's side. The problem is on my side. The problem with me is I don't know how to trust or rely fully upon God. I don't know how to do that. No matter how much I pretend I do, it's a process that God continually has me in. And particularly when something goes in a negative direction, I begin to cry louder. God, where are you? Why aren't you taking care of business? How can you possibly let this happen to me? Don't you understand how lucky you are to have me? And those are the kind of thoughts that can flow around and in through our lives. And he goes on from there, and the verse continues, says, He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Look around. Well, God, there's 6 billion people, or 7 billion, or 7.5, whatever the number really is. How can you possibly know? God whispers and says, there are trillions of stars. I got them named. You can ask me about any one of them. I know what's going on with each one of them, and I know what's going on with each one of you. And so that's kind of the children of Israel are looking on the one hand, here comes Assyria. Here comes what they're afraid of. Here comes a threat to their lives, their families, their livelihoods, their homes, their everything that they have, and it builds up against them. And what is he reminding them? I have this. I have this. And so he begins to go in this next verse. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? I ask the kids, do they complain? We all complain. It's not good. It's generally not useful. It's one thing if we have what we call constructive criticism, but complaining is normally just a whiny mouth about how people don't understand me and how hard my life is and nobody gets it. And a bunch of other things like that. But here it goes. Look at as it goes on. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by God. He doesn't get it. I don't get justice. I really served God all my life, and now somebody I love is sick or has died or something else. Or my knee hurts or my back hurts, and I thought I'd still be able to do this or that, and I find out I can't, or this is going to change. Or suddenly, as lives can be changed in a moment of a football hit or a tackle, and suddenly you have a concussion that takes you out of the game that you love to play all your life, and at that point, it's no longer your future. And you cry out, God, how can you do this to me? How can you let this happen? And so that's where Israel is at. You need to hear them. You need to understand their fear. They're not inhuman. It's God addressing that very fear, that very uncertainty. He says, I haven't disregarded your cause. I'm not missing anything. But don't you know how much I hurt? Do you think that's even a good question to ask the Lord? Is that a question of faith? God, you really can't understand me. I'm so complicated. I am, and God looks at me and goes, like nothing, Bruce. I've got you. I've got you figured out. Excuse me. Do you not know? Have you not heard? God talking to Israel again. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I've made it all. I created it all. You can be stunned and awed by the night sky. He goes, I got it. How did I do? I got them all running together. How are we doing? I got it all understood. And the hard part is, I don't like his plan. I don't like your plan, God. But we disguise it with, God, you're just not here when I need you. And the answer really is, God, you're here, and you're letting this into my life right now, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to put my confidence in you rather than my very limited understanding, thinking, and reasoning ability to try and figure out why you're doing what you're doing. How come people I love get sick? How come they die? How come the world is going in the direction it's going? How can some people continue to vote for killing children? How can, and the list goes on and on. And God is whispering to me, who do you trust? Do you think I have my hand on this? Do you think I don't see their hearts? Do you think I'm missing something? Like somehow my mercy is not sufficient, my strength is not sufficient enough, that somehow you're slipping through my fingers? And I somehow got too busy to remember what you need and how I want to use this moment, moment in your life to help you? And the answer eventually comes back like it had to in Israel. Lord, who are we to tell you what to do? Who are we to think we're smarter than you are? We certainly can't figure out the orbit of the earth around the sun. Okay? And when I just watched a special on it. It's elliptical. It's not just rotating on a perfect, you know, it keeps moving through space simultaneously. So we're moving at thousands of miles an hour through space, rotating at 24,000 miles an hour. And we put that all together and my little brain goes, uh-huh, I got it. Yeah, and you all start as a little one-celled creature when the sperm and the egg meet. Oh, yeah, I got that figured out too, Lord. And you become this human being that can tell God how to do it. And I go, how did I get to be like this? How did I slide into that level of arrogance or pride or just plain foolishness? And he goes on, he says, this God that we're addressing right now, he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. You can't figure God out. I'm sorry, you can't. God can keep track of every life in here and know exactly what you need to hear today. And somehow through what people will say, something you'll hear, a comment from the kids that you laughed at, something someone puts their arms around you and taps you on the back, thanks you for being who you are, or something, it will speak to your heart if you allow that to enter your mind and spirit. And God can address what you need to hear and receive today from the Lord. He can figure that out. I'm lucky enough if I can read and understand and preach on the next verse. And so into this situation, please understand, God is reminding you, look who I am. Be reminded of who I am. And he's not doing it to hurt you, but he's going on and he said, you won't figure me out, but I want you to know something. I don't get tired. Let's all go running up and down the stairs 10 times and we'll see how many of you pass out, are breathing hard, or your knees get and legs give out on you. And you go, no, thank you. Right? And I go, God whispers 10 times, 10,000 times, 10 million times. I don't get tired. I don't get weary. You don't weary me, Bruce. Think about that for a moment. I don't get tired of you. I don't get exhausted by taking care of you, ministering to you, nurturing you, encouraging you. I don't tire from that. because I need you to remember who I am. And he takes us back to that point. And then he goes to verse 29, which is the part most of us cling to and remember. He gives strength to the weary. Life is wearying. It's not easy. If I hang around with my kids and my grandkids and I go, wow, my son and my daughter-in-law are so young yet. And you can hang around and you begin to go, I can't keep up with this. And the parents are just keeping up with it. And I go, I remember that. That's not easy. Or you're looking at some poor mother and they're going, no wonder she's tired. Okay, Ma, do I have to clean my room? Ma, my sister pushed me. Ma, I want something to eat. Ma, Dad, right? And you kind of go, shut up. Of course, you never quite say it out loud. You'd think it, though. And you begin to recognize, here's God going, he gives strength to the weary. I'll give you more. You'll have beyond what you think you have. Remember my phrase I always try and teach you. I always say not yet. Do you feel exhausted today? Yeah. Do you think God will give what you need? Yes, but you haven't got it quite yet. When you really need it, he'll give you what you need. So it goes on, and increases the power to the weak. If you've ever had done deep knee bends, you realize what increasing power is. I was sharing earlier, Sam Buckmeyer, when he was younger, and the Buckmeyers were at our church, was in football and stuff, and I had him do a one-legged deep knee bend. He takes one leg and he grabs the ankle of the one leg, and on one leg he goes all the way back down and all the way back up on one leg. And I had him do it because I couldn't even do it with two. But you begin to understand, he's now going to address something even more important. He gives strength to the weary. He increases power to the weak. Even youths grow weary. We sometimes joke about it. Kids are running around. They get in the car and they're asleep in a mile and a half, right? They grow weary. And he's looking at you going, you think it has to do with youth. You've got to understand, weariness is as much intellectual and emotional as it is physical. If you're doing something you really like and enjoy, you don't grow as weary over it or as quickly as something you don't enjoy. And so it goes on and says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men. Now, young there implies select. Young meaning the buff guys, okay? So the young men stumble and fall. But, here's the but, those who hope in the Lord will renew, will have strength poured into them, will get restored, recharged, built back up, renew in their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. Eagles soaring do not move their wings. There is a carrying of them by the uplift of the wind or the movement of the air that allows an eagle to soar, and it can stay up there for hours because it does not grow weary. Why? Because the uplifts are carrying it. Because that which is external, the ruach, the spirit, is carrying you. When you have your wings out, the spirit can lift you up. If you're tight-winged and your trust in God is not there, there's nothing to lift you up with. Even if the wind of the Lord and the spirit of God is trying to move into your life or circumstances, you're learning something really important. Those who really hope in God spread their wings. Here I am, Lord. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to reprioritize my life. Give me strength to get the things done I need to get done and the ability to surrender the few things or many things I can't always get done. You put those wings out and the Spirit of the Lord begins to lift you up. That's what's being told to you here. It goes, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Then the song goes, teach me, Lord, to pray. So here's the process. Here's God talking to the Israelites in the middle of totally unpredictable times where they're going to need to be rescued from Assyria, which eventually does happen. But in this process, you begin to recognize, how is God desiring to take care of me? And he's looking at you and he says, I know what you're feeling. I understand it. I take care of all creation. A sparrow doesn't fall off the wire or out of the tree without me being aware of it. And if I can take care of the sparrow, why can't you believe I'm taking care of you? Because I don't like the way you're taking care of me. You understand? Call what you're doing what it really is. Doubt. Anger at God. Bitterness because it's not turning out the way you want. Because you're assuming God's position and you're telling God how it should have turned out, how it should be, and God's whispering to you and says, child, I will lift you up. I will carry you on eagle's wings. I will give you strength beyond what you can comprehend. But I need you to walk through this with me. I need this pain in your life right now. Because in this test, in this experience, you will become a different person. And because you're different, your children will be different. Because you're different, your marriage will be different. Because you respond to life with a level of faith you never used to have, your kids will now begin to understand when mom or dad are at the end of their wits, they know how to rely upon God. I want to do that also. And so there is this whole thing that God has us in that only rarely do we sometimes get the picture with this little narrow perspective of life and circumstances you and I have. God every once in a while opens the whole thing and he says, all of creation is mine, not just your little world. All of creation I understand. Everything is in my heart. Without any wearisomeness, without getting tired, I will take care of you and I'll watch over you. When we start singing those songs that are happy and joyful and challenging, you lift up your voice, not because one at that right at that moment you have a perfect peace in terms of the situation, but you know who is holding you. I can feel peace today. My God is holding me. My Lord is in control, and I am going to trust in him rather than what I see or what experiences I look around. And that becomes that challenge and that invitation. Pray with me if you would. Lord, how overwhelming is your grace. How overwhelming is the truth about who you are, about the mercy you feel, and about the treasure that you somehow see in the inconsistent people that we all are. But in that, Lord, you promise strength and power, and you promise a level of walking and carrying and supporting like eagles on the wind currents of the earth, Lord. You promise us to walk and soar like we couldn't possibly do without you. And so may your spirit move in our lives. May your spirit rest on us, Lord. And may your joy be a part of everything we say and do. We pray it in your name. Amen. If you have any green...